That was brutal. Thanks, Cheryl. Just to introduce myself, my name is Josh, and I'm going to be talking this morning to you. It's such a privilege to be here on Easter Sunday and carry, just share a little bit of some thoughts about the Easter story and all that Jesus did. But as I set my notes up, why don't you just do me a favour, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad I sat next to you this morning. I mean, it could have been anybody you sat next to, but you... Cool, you are glad. That's good. So like I say, my name's Josh. I am married to the beautiful Chloe. We celebrated this week our 2-year wedding anniversary. Thanks for praying for me. I've made it through 2 years. And we're praying for many, many more. And we went away this week down to Plymouth, and there was snow. Like, who knew? It's the end of March, and we're having snow. Like, what's going on about that, hey? But anyway, it was a great time. And 2 years ago, it's 2 years basically from when I made a decision. I made a choice to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to marry Chloe, and she made the same choice to me. And who knows? Life is full of choices. When I was a young boy, sometimes I get to go shopping with my mum or my grandma. And if I say get, it was like it was a great big privilege, but it was like you had to. So we'd go to the Tesco's or Aldi or equivalent of that. And my mum or my grandma would say to me, listen, Josh, if you are good around the shop and stuff, if you don't like annoy your sister all the way around, then at the end, what we'll do is we'll let you pick some sweets. Right, okay. So I'd be on my best behaviour. I would barely annoy my sister at all. Like, I wouldn't ride the trolley. You know when the thing where you, like, push it along and take your feet off in the air and, like, skate it along? I wouldn't do any of that. I wouldn't grab the can of beans from the bottom of the shelf and pull all the other beans away at the same time. I wouldn't do that because I wanted the sweets at the end. And if I'd been good... My mum always said this to me as well. I don't know if anybody can connect with this. If you're new to parent or you're going to become a parent, maybe you can take this language into how you raise your kids. She always said, look, Josh, you look with your eyes, not with your hands, okay? And so if I looked with my eyes and not with my hands, then at the end, maybe like my mum or my grandma might say to me, okay, Josh, you can have some sweets. And there's that moment at the end when you get to go around, like, yeah, you've made it, you've been good enough to be able to do it. I would look at, and you go to the sweet aisle, yeah, and there's all these options. There's like colours everywhere, flavours of all different types, and you've got the fizzy belts, and you've got the fried eggs, and you've got like the fizzy cola bottles, and you've got the normal cola bottles, and you've got the rainbow drops, and you've got the flumps. Like, big up for the flumps, because I love them. And as I got older, I started to not just look at all the colours and the flavours, but I started to look at the grammage. Like, how much sweets will I get per bag for the price? Because I needed to have more sweets than my sister. I needed to make sure that I did. And life is full of choices, but sometimes it can be difficult to choose. In that moment, there was often points where you'd look at the sweet, oh, wow, so many options. And at some point, mum would say, just choose. Just make a decision. Like, one of them, just pick up like a bag of like chocolate peanuts. And you're like, oh. You regret. But it's a bit like that. We go to a restaurant and they, you know, they bring out the menu. And it's about eight or nine pages long, and you're sifting through this thing. Like, and if you're anything like me, you need to read everything to make sure that you're not going to miss what you eat. Not that it's going to change. You always get the burger, if you're me. I always get the burger. But I have to read every 8 pages. But sometimes choice can be overwhelming. And, you know, today I felt to share with you and talk a little bit about choosing and choices. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of the choices that Jesus made and some of the implications of the choices that then leaves us with for you and me. As I was reading this week, the story of Jesus, as in the run-up and his death and resurrection, the historical biblical account, like, this is eyewitness accounts. This is written by people who were there or who knew people who were there and spoke to them and wrote it down. And I read how he was betrayed by his friends. And I read how he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I read how he was interrogated and how he was sentenced to die. How he was hung on a cross, nails driven through his hands and his feet. And I was just struck by this idea of how many times Jesus could have saved himself. He could have opted out. He could have made a choice. He could have defended himself when he was being interrogated by the Jewish council, when he was being interrogated by Herod, by Pilate. He could have, he even says this himself. He said, I could call down thousands of angels and rescue me from what I'm about to go through when Peter tries chopping off somebody's ear when he gets arrested. But he doesn't. He could have proved who he was miraculously in another way. But he didn't. He was slapped, punched, spat at, mocked, stripped, made to wear a crown of thorns. And sometimes we romanticize this idea of the Easter story as if it was nice for him. Like, would have pierced his skin, those thoughts. He was beaten around the head with a stick. This was not a nice experience. They mocked him, saying things like, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And I need you to know this morning, he could have saved himself. He refused to save himself so that he could give you an option of being saved. He chose the cross. He chose to die so that you could choose to live. He didn't avoid death. He didn't dodge death. He overcame it. He didn't cheat it. He beat it. He did it for you and he did it for me. And this is why he did it. Because if there was no death, there could be no resurrection. There could be no resurrection if there's no death. The sin that separated us and God, it required a death that separated us from sin. We were separate from God. He needed something to plug the gap. The Bible says that the consequences, the wages of sin is death. The bad stuff in our life, the punishment for it, what the Bible says is it's death, spiritual death. But 2 Corinthians 5 says that God made him, talking about Jesus, who had no sin because he was perfect and lived a perfect life, to become sin, this is radical, for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. We could be made right with God. And I need you to know this morning that the cross of Christ is the place where God's righteousness met our wrongdoing. But it didn't end there. Because 3 days later, he rose again, fully alive. Because if the cross was the place where God's righteousness met our wrongdoing, then the empty tomb, the empty grave, was the place where his righteousness overcame our wrongdoing, where he proved that he can overcome it all. There's no separation that he can't overcome. There's no sin. There's no suffering. There's nothing that can block anymore because the temple curtain was torn, which means the access that was blocking between us and God, it's no longer a problem anymore. We can come directly through Jesus. He is victorious. He chose the cross. You need to know he chose the cross. He chose to suffer so that salvation would become an option for you and for me. But so often what we do in our lives, we do the opposite of what Jesus did. And we do everything that we can to save ourselves. If we just work hard, if we just be a good person, the world tells you goodness is the standard of getting into heaven. And Jesus says, you can't be good enough. There will be a day when we are resurrected in our bodies. There will be a day when one day our bodies that were dead will rise again. The Bible says that in many places. And there's this one story. If you've got your Bibles, when you turn to John 11, we're going to jump a little bit around. But John 11 tells a story of one of Jesus's good mates, Lazarus. He's died. And Jesus is very close to the family. And Martha comes to Jesus, having just sort of lost her brother. And she said, Lord, if only you'd been here. If only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. This is like 11 and then like 20, verse 20 onwards, kind of we're going to sort of look at. Lord, if you only been here maybe a bit further, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, I'm just paraphrasing, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, I know that he'll rise again. He'll rise again on the last day. And Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And then he leaves it with a choice. And he always leaves us with a choice about this. He says, do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Martha? You know what he says is he says, yes, everyone, there will be a day that unless Jesus comes back before, our bodies, our natural bodies will die. And if we are in Christ, if we believe in Jesus, he will rise us again. Our bodies will come and breathe again. But he also says that anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. But he seems to contradict himself. Then Anyone who live, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. So will we die or won't we die? Well, we will die, like I just say. We will die because they were natural. If Jesus doesn't come back before, then naturally our bodies will die. But he's talking about a spiritual resurrection here as well. He says, anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. To paraphrase, resurrection physically will come, but resurrection spiritually can start right now, today, here. Right at the start of John 3, a couple of pages before, Jesus is talking to this clever guy, Nicodemus, teacher of law, knows the Bible, knows what was the Bible at the time. And he says, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asks a really good question. How can an old guy like me be born, go into his mother's womb and be born again? Doesn't make any sense, Jesus. And Jesus replies, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of spirit and of water. Resurrection needs to happen in both our natural bodies. That will happen one day, but it has to happen first in our spirits because we were spiritually dead. Resurrection gives us an option to be spiritually alive again. And I feel challenged to say, church, that some of you here might be here today and you might be a bit like Martha. And you believe in what Jesus, you believe in the resurrection, but you're waiting for the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection to come on the last day. And I really feel that today Jesus says to you, resurrection's for you now. Like spiritual resurrection is for you today. You don't have to wait till the day you die and you rise up to heaven for resurrection to be a reality in your life. It can start right here. It can start right now. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 6? Listen, if you could take a passage in the Bible and just read this over and over and over and over again and be transformed, Romans 6 would be probably the one to pick. Just such an amazing, amazing passage. And if you've not got your Bibles, don't worry, it's going to come up on the screen behind me and just kind of like read along in your head. Paul, who writes this, he's just been talking about how the fact is that we're made right only by God's grace. There's nothing we can do. You can't follow enough rules to be made right. It's only by God's grace. And he starts this in verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. And we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian here today, that's your story. Yeah. That is your reality. I need you to know to go away this morning and know that Jesus, he didn't die to turn bad people good. He didn't die for that. He died to turn dead people alive. Because when you're dead, do you know what you can do? Nothing. Jesus died to give you an option to be able to opt into resurrection life. You need to know that. He died to give us the option of eternal life. And it's only through him. It's through him. It's only when we're united with him, in relationship with him, that we have this access. It's like a one-person deal. He says, I am the gate, I'm the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. He's the way. The day that you put your faith in Jesus was the day that you became a new creation. Some of you, that day is going to be today. Some of you, maybe you've fallen away and you remember the day when you were a new creation, but now you feel like you're living to the old, but there's going to be a new. You're going to have an opportunity to recommit today. This is the first day of the new life where you recognize that Jesus carried your sin on that cross. And when he rose to give you a new life. But here's the thing. There can be no joining in Christ's resurrection if we don't join with him in his death. that sounds really like tough. Like hang on, like, I thought Christians were like nice and it's like, easy to be a Christian. Like, well, no. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. He died for everyone. He died for every single person on this planet. He died for you. He died for me. He died for the person sat next to you. He died for the person you've never met who lives in a different country to you. He died for everybody. But not everybody will receive the new life that he's got on offer for us. It's not because of what Jesus has done. He's done all he can do. But we have to make his decision. Will we receive the new life that he has made a way for us to access? It goes on in verse 17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Some of you, you're not experiencing the fullness of Jesus' resurrection life because you're living in your old life. You need to know that that died when Jesus died. All your sin, all your rubbish, all that stuff that stops you from accessing God died the day that Christ said it is finished and he breathed his last breath. That was done. But then when he rose again, he gave us the power and made it available for us to be able to say, actually, all that rubbish stuff that I've had in my life, that's dead and finished. And now I can step into a new life. And I'm no longer held by this stuff anymore. There's no sin. There's no curse. There's no hex that somebody can speak over you that you can have on your life that can't be reversed by the power of what Jesus did at the cross and then the tomb. There's nothing. But I really feel to say for some, stop clinging to the old. Don't hold to the old. Do from the new. Don't hold on to all the old stuff of what you were once before the cross. Leave it at the cross and operate out of the new creation of who God called you to be. It's a much better way. He knows this stuff, all this rubbish, just holds you down. It's like a straitjacket in the end and you're just like moving about. But you've got no real freedom. Christ came to set us free. Matthew 16, Jesus says to his disciples, this is to us, anybody that follows him, if any of me wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. All this stuff, my own way of doing things, what I thought was best, I have to give it up. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Jesus chose to die so that you could choose to live. But you need to choose to die before you can choose to live. We've got to allow us. There's going to be no resurrection if there's no death. We've got to recognize that we were dead in our sin, like buried, done. Jesus made access for us to live life, resurrection life. Let me tell you what it looks like to be resurrected. What does it look like now? Okay, fine, great. If I accept that, that's what Jesus did for me. What does it look like? First thing it looks like, true freedom. There is no sin, nothing that can separate you now. You're free. You're not bound by it anymore. That straitjacket's been ripped off. There's no power in hell or on earth that can lay a finger on you in comparison to the power of what Jesus has done in your life, the spirit of Jesus that lives inside of us. You are free. Now, you might not feel free. Doesn't matter. Now, you might not live free. You need to start living free because you're free. But if you are in Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is dead, buried. You're going to live to the new. It's time to live free. This is the reality of what Jesus did with his resurrection. It's just not always the reality that we live in. We don't always live in the reality that we're free. The Bible says it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. I love that verse. He set you free because he wants you to be free. No other reason. No, it wasn't the strings. He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to be bound by all the rubbish. He wants you to be free. So number one, you're free. Number two, you're not alone. You might walk out of this building today into a difficult situation or circumstance. And you might feel, actually, this is quite overwhelming. But let me tell you that if you have united with Christ through his death and his resurrection, he won't leave you now as you walk out your new life. He says, I will never leave you. I will be with you to the end of the age, which is forever. And then finally, you're powerful. Resurrection life, you have a power living inside of you, a grave overturning power. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, where does he live? In you and in us, if we believe in Jesus, he lives in us. Ephesians 2, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and you just get this. He's praying for them. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. We live so powerless when we have so much power as Christians sometimes. You have a grave overturning power living inside of you. So you're free, you're not alone, and you have access to a grave overturning power. And there's nothing you've done to earn it or deserve it. Not one thing. Everything that you add to what Jesus has done ruins it. Because we believe in a finished work of Christ. He's done all the work. If we had any part to play, we would mess it up. We'd make a mess. But Jesus finished it. Maybe Chris could jump up on the keys if that's all right. He doesn't force you this morning to make a choice. And neither do I. This is something that you've got to choose. Do you believe this, Martha? He asks to Martha. He's done everything else for you, but he won't make this choice for you. Do you trust that Jesus died and rose again? And that when he died, he took all your sin, all the rubbish on yourself, and killed it. And when he rose again, he said, that has no power on you anymore. You are free. You're free. Some of you need to know this morning, you're free. You know, our destiny was death in the bad stuff that we've done. Hell is the eternal reality of being separate from God. It's the place where God isn't. So then suffering and sin and horrible stuff exists. But heaven is the reality of the resurrected. It's the place where there's no more tears or pain, no more sin, no more separation at all. And he made resurrection an option, both physically one day when we go to heaven, but spiritually for us right here, right now. Now, after standing in the sweet aisle for a while and looking at all the colours and the flavours, at some point you've got to make a choice. You can only read a menu for so long before you've got to make a decision. You need to make a choice this morning. Do you believe it? Or not? I believe there's three people here this morning. Number one, you've never chosen to follow Jesus. I've got this expression, and this sounds harsh, but it's like you're dead, but you don't even know it. Maybe some of the things I've shared this morning, they're pretty tough. I do get that. But you've never known that before. You've never heard somebody say that before. You're dead spiritually without Jesus. The great thing is it's not the end there. The choice gets you up back in. Maybe you've never made that choice. I'm going to give you the option. If you're person number one who wants to make a decision today to follow Jesus for the first time and say, you know what? I want access to this resurrection life. There's something in that message that just touched me some way, somehow. I want to make a decision that's going to be my story, and I'm sorry for the stuff I've done wrong. Second type of person I feel as well, and I'm going to pray a prayer, sinner's prayer. And second type of person, I want you to join this prayer when I pray it in a minute as well. Second person is, you've been alive, you believe in Jesus, you've been coming to church, you might call yourself a Christian, but you're plain dead. Your life looks no different than what it did before. You're still living in all the rubbish. You're still feeling separate from God. And you come to church and you might lift your hands and you might say, bless your brother. But really, you're plain dead. And you need that resurrection life again. You need to make a decision. I'm going to leave my dead self right here. And I'm going to walk out of that grave that Jesus gave me the ability to, the access to do that. So if that's either of you, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never made a decision to put your trust in Jesus. Or you don't know if you have. Or you feel like you did once and now you're living in the old stuff and you want to make a decision again to like, no, I need to pray this prayer. All I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a really simple prayer. It's not complicated at all. I'm going to get everybody to close their eyes in a second. At the end, I'm going to then invite you, if you pray that prayer, just do something really brave and put your hand up. Sometimes it's important that we make a physical response to say, you know what? I prayed that prayer. I want to live this new life that Josh talked about. I want to access that. It means that we can support you and like we can help you and come alongside you. But if either of that's just, this is for you, this prayer is for you, just pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died and rose again. Thank you that when you died, you removed the separation between me and you. Thank you that you gave me an option to access resurrection life. I'm so sorry for the things I've thought, done, and said that have been wrong. Please forgive me. I invite you to come into my heart now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to follow you from this day forward. I choose to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. Every eye stay closed. If that was you, and you prayed that prayer for the first time, for the 100th time, but it meant something, just would you be really brave for me? Nobody else is looking. Just pop your hand up in the air. Spirit, sometimes I feel that God can speak to you and kind of prompt you. I just feel there's one more person who you really want to make that decision, but you're just a little bit like I'll just make that decision, but I won't put my hand up. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you, Jesus did everything for you. We just got to respond to it. So I'm just going to give you a moment, a couple more seconds for you to respond, if that's you. Bible says happens when one person makes a decision to follow Jesus. When one sinner says, I don't want to live that way anymore, I'm going to choose to live Jesus' way. The Bible says there's a party in heaven. There's a celebration happening in heaven right now. Do you know what I mean? That's pretty exciting. I'm going to invite the band to come back up because I believe there's a third type of person here as well. And you may have come and you might be in the first two type of people, but now you're in the third, because the third type of people is you're alive spiritually and physically, and he's living through you. And here's what your response is. Go and tell somebody of what he's done in your life. Go and tell somebody of the story that you were dead and now you're alive. You were old, but now you're new. And I don't know about you, but I think that's something to celebrate. Put your hand up here if you would acknowledge that to be true for you. You know what? Yeah, I've made that decision before. Come on, stand up with me. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to join with something of what the angels are doing right now in heaven. They're having a party, and I wanted to encourage you, right? Because sometimes we get a bit English in this moment, don't we? Yeah, oh yeah, there's a party happening in heaven. Do you know what I mean? Bit too British, and I want you to encourage you to loosen up a little bit. Listen, the angels are going wild right now. They're like whooping and cheering, they're clapping, they're probably dancing. Are you? Why don't we get a little bit loose this morning? We're going to sing Happy Day one more time. I want you to stomp your feet. If that's all you can do, stomp your feet, clap your hands, as we sing this together. Does that make sense?